Hi, Philip. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you this morning?
Good, thanks.
Wonderful. Well, to kick things off, how have retailers like ebooks of ebooks like Amazon and its Kindle affected the actual tactile bookstores?
Well, it's been interesting to watch that over the course of the almost 16 years of this century so far. So the first commercial ebook was Stephen King's Riding the Bullet, which came out in March 2000, and then briefly everyone thought ebooks were going to be a big thing, and then they realized that all they were doing was reading PDFs on their computers, and that was more like work. So it took ebooks a while to take off, and the big things that made them take off were the technology catching up with the dream, really, when the Kindle came out in late 2007, and then the iPad came along in early 2010. And suddenly we had two different kinds of devices that actually allowed for reasonably pleasant electronic reading experiences. So we saw a time when ebooks rose dramatically. Ebook sales rose by 1,260% over the space of a few years in the US. And Australian sales rose too, slightly later than the US, but they were very much on their way up. So what that meant was that by, say, 5 years ago, ebooks were very much on the rise. Amazon had really established itself as a book retailer, and it was a pretty challenging time for the kind of regular Australian bookshop. But it's been interesting to see how they've come back from there and how they definitely still have a place.
You mentioned that the Kindle and the iPad have come in, and certainly it's very debatable about how our reading habits have shifted with all of this new online content and stuff like that. But do you think that our modern life has had a negative impact on our reading habits, or perhaps some things have facilitated it?
It's a bit of both. I think there are perhaps fewer people reading slightly fewer books than they once were. If you look at Nielsen surveys over a 10-year period from 2004 to 2014, I think the number of people reading at least one book every few months in Australia dropped from nearly 55% to just over 50%, which doesn't sound huge, but it is kind of a million people reading less, and I think that's significant. So what we found is that we've got more demands on our time than ever, and more entertainment options than ever. And, you know, I sit here as a writer who loves to read, but who also has Netflix and who spends plenty of time messing around on Facebook and various other things. So a lot of us seem to be reading less than we once were, or not reading so much in our regular lives and stockpiling books for holidays. And from my point of view as a writer, that's one of the reasons that I've turned to writing novellas recently. Stories that can be read in 2 or 3 hours, so you can read them on a domestic plane flight or maybe on a day's commuting. And I think what we might see is, because we do see more people reading on their phones, there's scope to read, there's scope to listen to audiobooks on devices that we all carry in our pockets or in our bags. So I think what we're going to see is there are kind of more pathways to incorporate reading or reading type experiences into our regular lives at the same time that loads of other things have come along as well. So reading certainly isn't done for. It's got a place, and I think it's just a question of working out how to kind of find that place for regular reading in people's lives.
Mm. Well, I certainly think about my own life. Know that I think I read more now that I'm reading things online, you know, integrated articles in Facebook and stuff like that. But I've become a lot more impatient. So moving to ideas like novellas and things like that does seem like a good move to keep up with people's short attention spans.
Yeah,
nowadays.
And that's very much part of it. And I'm like you. I spend a lot of time online. I actually spend more of my life reading than I once did. But a lot of it is kind of flicking from one thing to another. And what we've seen is online is the time people spend on online content is actually very short. So people will kind of skim read an article and then flick to something else, or click on a link and read something else. So we do a lot of reading, but it's a very different pattern of reading. And what I think novella can do is offer the kind of deep reading that a novel can give you, deep, non-distracted reading, so that you can really engage with characters and engage with the story. But at the same time, it only takes 2 or 3 hours, so as opposed to 10 to 12 hours, which a lot of us end up spreading over weeks and weeks and losing the thread of the story.
Mm. Well, that's it. Yeah, it's important to maintain the thread of the story. Well, back to bookstores versus e-bookstores, I suppose. What's the relationship between actual booksellers and e-books? Do they coexist peacefully, or is there some sort of beef between the two?
I think at various times there's been a bit of unease between the two. I think there are some booksellers who are very happy selling paper books and selling e-books, but they're really quite different commodities. And it's interesting comparing it to what happened when the paperback became a big deal in the 1930s, when Penguin paperbacks came out. That was seen as a big change, but that came from within the industry, and it still was printed and bound and carried around on trucks. And so publishers got totally on board with the paperback, and it became the kind of dominant form in fiction. But what happened with ebooks was ebooks kind of came from outside. They weren't invented by the publishing industry. And the two big things that drove sales, the Kindle came from a retailer rather than a publisher, and the iBook came from Apple, a big IT company. So kind of came from outside, and they don't. It's not the not the same as the difference between paperbacks and hardbacks. An ebook, and the unit cost is effectively zero. They occupy no space. You don't have to look after them until they're sold. You don't have to drive them around on trucks. So it's kind of natural that the sales model for those differs very much from the sales model for a paper book. So it's a different kind of. I mean, it's a different vessel for the same product. You're still getting the story. But it's a different way to get it, and it's very easy to buy online and just download directly onto your device. And I think a lot of booksellers might have found that a bit challenging, but what we found is that some people really embrace ebooks, particularly people who really like to read large amounts of genre fiction, and they save thousands of dollars a year reading ebooks. But a lot of people still really like to read a paper book, and a paper book is still a very reasonable value proposition. If paper books cost like $500 each, then ebooks would have wiped them out, but they don't cost $500 each. And in fact, paper books in Australia cost less than they did 8 or 10 years ago. So a paper book is still pretty good value, and that's why there's still a place for paper books. And while there's a place for paper books, and that's going to be for a very long time, there's still a place for the people who sell them, because their expertise really counts for something, and having a bookseller who knows your taste and can suggest things to you can actually lead you to read some books that you end up loving.
Yeah, well, it does seem quite akin to as a vinyl fan myself over digital music. It does seem quite akin to the relationship that people have with tactile music as well.
Yeah.
Can you see bookshops becoming like record stores are now, where they attract quite a niche clientele of really devoted listeners? Or do you think they're still going to remain fairly prevalent?
I think some years ago, a lot of us were thinking that it would become a niche thing, and that it would be like the vinyl record, where of course the world was producing more vinyl in 2010 than it was in 2000 because of that interest from people, but it was still a relatively small thing, and they are kind of, you know, deluxe editions of the albums that you get, and that's what a lot of people thought books were going to do. But so far it doesn't look as though they're doing that. Paper books are still the biggest part of the market, and likely to remain so for quite a while, and in many respects likely to be the kind of standard way that people acquire a book, even though ebooks are there as well and are still growing despite some people's interpretation of the statistics. Ebook sales still are growing year on year, though not as fast as they were between 2008 and 2012 when new devices were bringing on big leaps in sales. It's not leaping now, but they're still selling. But printing is cheaper than it was. So mass market paperbacks are actually not too different from ebooks in price now. And I think as long as that's still the case, we're going to still have quite a lot of paper books around, and more than we were thinking maybe 5 years ago.
Well, it's very exciting. Very exciting that books are still kicking around, the tactile book, and that probably will still be here for a long time to come. Nick, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
That's a pleasure, Philip. Great to talk to you.
You too. Bye.